Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. In your Schofield Bible, page 1328. We'll be reading the first four verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The fourth verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Jude, verses 1 through 4. Page 1328 in your Schofield Bible. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as always we do here at First Baptist. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn now to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Page 1201 in your Schofield Bible. Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading the first two verses. I'll read the first, you read the second. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And let's pray. Father, there are a lot of folks here tonight. Because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of problems, a lot of burdens, and a lot of things that need to be settled. Asking an awful lot for one sermon to settle all the issues that with which we contend, but we believe that you've put a message upon the heart of our preacher. We believe that it's going to be helpful. Whatever the burden, whatever the problem, we can gain something from the message. If we'll pay attention, if we'll listen, please, Holy Spirit, we pray for thy power in the life of each listener and he who comes to preach for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know if there's any time when I'm any more proud than one of my voice students sings like that. I've given my life to teaching young men how to sing, and I'm proud of my protege. And I'm going to read for you without your turning to it one passage, one verse. And I want to take out one little phrase of that verse and preach about it tonight. And I really come to this message with some fear and trembling. 2 weeks ago tonight, I was going to preach on this message. I went to my study in the afternoon and about 3 o'clock, and I spent all afternoon trying to re-outline it and wasn't satisfied with the outline. So I switched and preached another sermon 2 weeks ago tonight. I fully intended to preach this sermon last Sunday night. So I went to the study about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I worked all afternoon trying to outline it. I wasn't satisfied with the outline. I decided to preach another sermon. Last week, about 20 minutes before question and answer time, I changed my sermon. Now, by the way, I have many sermons prepared that I've never preached, and some that I've preached aren't prepared. But you heard those, haven't you? But, and I'm not satisfied yet with the outline. I wasn't satisfied with it last night. I decided I was going to preach on the parable of the talents. I announced this morning that I may do that. This afternoon I worked for another 2 or 3 hours on this outline. Still don't like it, so I want to go back in the office. I'll be back in a few minutes and get my outline. But I want to read for you, and you listen carefully to it. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Now here's my text and my title, Turning the Grace of Our God into Lasciviousness. Now, what does lasciviousness mean? I haven't got the foggiest idea. It means absence of restraint. It means no boundaries. It's exactly what it means. It says there were certain men, ungodly men, crept in unawares, that used the grace of our God to take away all boundaries. And I want you to hear me tonight. I don't have a real line upon line, precept upon precept. I know what I want to say, but I don't have it outlined like I wish I did. But don't think I'm going to do any better than I did tonight. And so I want you to listen to me as I talk about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or using the grace of God to eliminate boundaries, or bring an absence of restraint. Father, what I'm going to say ought to be said here and in every pulpit of every fundamental church in America. I'm not sure I can say it like it ought to be said, but what I'm going to say ought to be said. So I pray you'd bless me as I say it, please. Amen. The inspired writer wrote what God told him to write. And in that little phrase I'll preach about tonight, I dwell. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Let me see if I can take a few little illustrations to show you what this means. I was on an airplane flying from Texas to Chicago. The man beside me was obviously a well-to-do businessman, and he was drinking a martini. And I won't go into the entire story. I've given it to you years ago when it happened. But we started talking a little while, and he asked what kind of business I was in. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And he said, I'm a Baptist myself. And I said, what are you doing drinking? What are you doing drinking a martini? I'm very tactful like that. And in fact, he said, I'm a Baptist deacon. Then I understood why he was drinking the martini. But I said, what are you doing drinking a martini? You're a Baptist deacon. And here's what he said. He said, under grace, I'm free to do what I please. That's exactly what the scripture is talking about. That deacon was turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. He was using the grace of God as an excuse for having no boundaries or no restraint. Anything goes now, I'm saved. I was on an airplane flying to San Francisco. I was sitting beside a business woman. God deliver me from business women. I probably just got delivered from every business woman in this church just then. But this gal was obviously a pretty high person in some place, and some business. And I was talking with her, and she said, what kind of business are you in? And I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I love to say that. I love to say it. I'm a Baptist preacher. And she said, so we talked. She said, well, I'm a Christian myself. I said, where do you go to church? And she said, I go to Moody Church in Chicago. And I'm not here tonight to say anything negative about that church. I'll come back next Sunday night. But we were talking a while, and they came by, and the little stewardess said, Mr. Hiles, do you want some... by the way, I sometimes upgrade. I fly so many miles, I can upgrade to first class free of charge. They send me little free upgrade coupons, and if I'm back in the coach section, there are three seats abreast in the coach section. If I'm sitting back there between two fat women, I use one of those little free coupons. And so this particular time, I felt led of God to use it. When you got that much space to sit, you got a problem. And so I upgraded to first class. Now, in first class, if you pay for first class, it's going to cost you about $1,200 more to fly to Los Angeles, San Francisco and back than it is on a coach. But it's worth it because the two things you get. Number one is they memorize your name. They call you by name. That's worth $600. Number two, you get two packages of peanuts instead of one. And you're looking at a man that's eating the most expensive peanuts in the world, folks. And finally, a little stewardess came by, and Mr. Hiles, would you like to have some wine? And I said, no, ma'am, I would not, thank you. And then she said to this member of Moody Church in Chicago, this businesswoman, she said, would you like to have some wine? And she said, yes, I would. So we're sitting there, and she's drinking her wine. And I said, I thought you said you were a Christian. You know how I am. I just like to be tactful. And she said, I am a Christian. And I said, well, why are you drinking that wine? And I'm quoting her. She said, because I'm under grace. You see, she was taking the grace of God and turning it into lasciviousness, which means she was turning the grace of God and turning it into no boundaries or no restraint. Like the soul winners that go soul winning on a beach and wear bikinis, you see, in order that they may become one of them. But that has been taken to its ultimate ridiculous end. I read in the paper not long ago, the USA Today, how that a nudist colony had some soul winners come to the nudist colony to witness. And they took off their clothing and were in the nude so they could win the confidence of the nudist. That's what you call turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. By the way, it's worse to do it at a nudist colony, but it's the same principle wearing a bikini on a beach. I was on an airplane, and this probably has been mentioned in this pulpit. I was flying down, I forget, somewhere down south. I think maybe to Winston-Salem or Greensboro, High Point. And there was a couple that got on the plane, and she had on a miniskirt. Well, she didn't. She had on a rather lengthy blouse, that's all. And he had hair that reached bottom of her skirt. Long, hippie hair, and she had on a ridiculously short miniskirt. So happened that that they had a child, and so we're sitting across the aisle. And so I was reading my Bible, and she looked over, and she said, oh, you're a Christian. I said, yes, I am. And she said, so are we. She said, my husband's a gospel singer. And I said, pardon me for asking this question. And I need not tell you what I ask. But the answer to it was this. We're free. We are free in Christ. Now, what was she doing? She's doing the same thing those folks do on the beach. You go out in bikinis so they can become all things to all men. And the same thing that the little lady from Moody's Church did when she said, I'm under grace, while she's drinking her wine. The same thing the deacon said on the trip, Texas trip, when he said, I'm free to do what I please because I'm under grace. You call that turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or no boundaries. Now I'm gonna be a little more frank if I can, and I think I can. You'd be amazed if you listened to the rock group that sings at Jerry Falwell's place. Long-haired rock group, looked just like the Beatles and all the rest of the heathen folks, and the same music except just a few little different words. Now that's what you call turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Same thing about Billy Graham. It's amazing, unbelievable the change that man has made. I heard him say that there's a place where God is working mightily where the people wear shorts to church. I also heard him say that there was no fire in hell. And then also in his campaigns, if you'll sometimes look on the television just for a while at one of his campaigns, you'll see some of the most ungodly looking, un-American looking rock groups you've ever seen in your life. Now, you say, Brother Howells, I don't think you ought to call names when you preach, then I'd suggest that you never do it. But that's what you call turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. No restraint, no boundaries at all. Our charismatics are the experts at that. Look at channel 38 sometime, and then turn to channel 2, or 7, or 9, or 5. You'll find channel 2 will have women in pants, and you turn to channel 38, the so-called Christian channel, and you'll find channel 38 has women in pants. You turn to channel 2, you'll see a rock group singing, and you turn to channel 38, you're just as likely to see a rock group singing. Or you turn to the Moody station, radio station, and you'll hear rock music on that station, as godless as can be. You turn to channel 2 and you'll see long hair. You turn to channel 38 and you'll also see long hair. You turn to channel 2, you'll find women leading exercises in shorts. You turn to channel 38, you'll find women in shorts leading exercises also. Now, I'm trying to say all of this is a part of the popular, I call it yuppie Christianity, has no standards. No convictions, no rights, no wrongs. We're all under grace. Drink your liquor. Show your thighs in public. Have your rock groups. Look like the heathen. Sing like the heathen. Talk like the heathen. I'm saying that's exactly what Jude is talking about when he said there are certain ungodly men crept in unawares, who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or they're taking the grace of God and using it to remove all boundaries and all restraint. Now listen carefully. I'm going to do the best I can to explain it. I'm going to make one or two statements in passing. One is salvation hasn't changed. You can check in the Scofield Bible. You can find in the Scofield Bible that will tell you they got saved in the Old Testament or keeping the law, and the New Testament by grace through faith. Now, Mr. Scofield has a hole in his head when it comes to salvation in the Old Testament. And you'll find people today that will say there's one plan of salvation that John the Baptist preached, one plan of salvation that Paul preached, and one plan of salvation in the millennium. And they have empty rooms upstairs also. Everybody gets to heaven will get to heaven because they trusted the finished work of Christ on the cross. And there's only been one plan of salvation, but I'll hasten on from that. Not only has there been salvation hasn't changed, but the purpose of the law hasn't changed. The law was given to make sin exceeding sinful. The law was given to make men aware of their sins as a mirror, as a plumb line, if you please. Number 3, before we were saved, we were under the law of sin and death. Number 4, we got saved. Now listen carefully to this statement. When we got saved, we did not get out from under a law. We simply traded laws. My text in Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You have two laws here. You have the law of sin and death. And you have the law, that's L-A-W, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the law? The law is a set of boundaries. So we were saved from the law of the sin and death, from that set of boundaries, and we're saved to and by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to another set of boundaries. You were here Wednesday night a few weeks ago. I told this story, but it illustrates what I'm trying to say so beautifully. I was in Canoga Park, California. I used to preach out there a lot with Brother Lacey. I was in Canoga Park, California. I was out jogging one morning, and then I came to a place on the corner of that main drag through there. And anyway, I came to a corner house. In the backyard of that house was a chain-link fence. Inside that fence was a little Chihuahua dog, looked like a baby rat, about that long, little Chihuahua dog. That little Chihuahua dog was inside that fence. And sitting right outside that fence was a big bulldog, looked like the chairman of the board of deacons. Anyway, a big bulldog. It looked like some chairman of the board of deacons I've preached to around the country, I'll tell you for sure. But this little Chihuahua was inside that fence. And the big bulldog was outside the fence laying down with his four chins all stacked up there on each other. To that extent, looked like a 70-year-old preacher. And the bulldog was just watching this Chihuahua. And the Chihuahua was running up down the fence, inside the fence, going, woof, woof. And the bulldog was going, Bulldog had his napkin already on his collar. Little Chihuahua was going, woof, 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 woof. Now listen to him. I know Chihuahua language real well. You call Chihuahuanese. And little Chihuahua was saying, woof, let me out. Woof, 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 woof. I want to be free. Woof, 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 woof. I want to wear long hair. He's a male Chihuahua. I want to wear long hair. Woof, woof, woof. I want to wear an earring. Woof, woof, woof. No, I think it's a female. He's going, woof, 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 woof. I want to wear pants. I want to wear shorts. I want to look like a man. But the Chihuahua was saying, I want to be free. Woof, woof, I want to be free. Woof, 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 I want to be free. I want to be free. Now, that Chihuahua had been freed from that yard. He would have been breakfast for that bulldog. Now, that Chihuahua had one choice of laws. The law of sin and death is outside that fence. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus was inside that fence. And the safest place for that Chihuahua was inside the boundaries that somebody had made for his safety. Don't you tell me that's legalism. That's just loving the Chihuahua. And don't you tell me it's legalism. We say Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist students got to cut their hair if they're boys and wear decent length skirts if they're girls, and they can't touch each other and hold hands or kiss or neck or pet. Don't you tell me that's legalism. That's just somebody that loves these young people enough to want to keep them free. So you may take your choice. The law of sin and death, or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What says? The Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, a law, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which means that it took one law to free me from another law. What is the law of the Spirit of life? It's the law of love. And the law of love is more binding than the law of sin and death. For what He commands us to do is what He wants us to do. And when God saved us, He didn't save us to take us from boundaries. He saved us to change boundaries. And the law of sin and death is not as confining as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For example, the law of sin and death said, thou shalt not commit adultery. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus said, don't look at a woman and lust after her. The law of sin and death said, thou shalt not kill. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus said, you shouldn't hate your neighbor. The law of the sin and death said, you shall not steal. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus said, don't want you to covet. The law of sin and death said you're supposed to love your neighbor. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus said you're supposed to love your enemies too. The law of sin and death said you're supposed to walk a mile if asked. The law of sin, law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says walk the second mile. The law of sin and death says
Man asks your coat, the law of spirit, life in Christ Jesus. I said, give it your coat and your cloak also. The law of sin and death said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The law of the spirit, life in Christ Jesus said, turn the other cheek. The law of sin and death said, tithe. The law of the spirit, life in Christ Jesus said, tithes and offerings. The law of sin and death said, observe holy days. And the law of the spirit, life in Christ Jesus says, every day is supposed to be a holy day. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, are you trying to take away, when you say you're not supposed to observe the Sabbath, are you trying to take away the holy day? No, I'm trying to add six more. The law of sin and death said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus said you're supposed to live every day like you live on the Sabbath day. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, do you believe you're trying to do away with the 40 days of Lenten season? No, I'm not trying to extend it to 365. The new law of love narrows the boundaries. For God expects us in love to have more concise boundaries than if we're under the law of sin and death. And don't you think for a single moment this is legalism. Legalism is when somebody is wrong on the plan of salvation. My mama was not a legalist when she made me get a haircut every 2 weeks. We're not legalists when we say to these young people, you're not going to do things that will lead you to get young ladies pregnant before they get married. That's not legalism. You call it decency. And it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And brother, we ought to do more for God because we love Him than the Old Testament folks did when they were under the law of sin and death. So grace is not, listen carefully to a few statements here. Grace is not being free to do what I want to do. Grace is being free to do what I was meant to do. Grace is not being free to be what I want to be. Grace is being free to be what I was meant to be. Grace is not being free, but being freed. Let me illustrate. I have a box here. I'm going to take this microphone right here. I'm going to put it in that box and bind it up. That microphone is in bondage. I hear it saying, I want to be free. So I take that microphone and I free that microphone. Now that microphone is not free to toss it to Brother Colston. I'll toss it to a man. This microphone says I'm free. I can do what I want to do. No, sir. This microphone was not freed. It was freed from a bondage to be attached to another. For this microphone was made to be right there on the end of that, whatever that is, doojigger. Scientific term is doojigger. Now, that's why it was freed. It was taken out of that box. And God did not free you so you could run around half naked over town and listen to a bunch of heathen rock music people and watch Oprah and the dirty talk shows on television and dirty soap operas on television. God freed you because God had a will for your life, and you weren't free to do what you want to do. You were freed so you could do what God wanted you to do. So the microphone was freed so it might be placed right there. Okay. Now, for that illustration, I'm going to do it. Set still. I think I am. You know the illustration, don't you? Maybe it's best I didn't do it because that's the way most of you are. You've been freed, but you have not yet become under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God did not free you so you could go out and do everything you want to do, so you'd have no restraints and no boundary. God freed you so you could do what He made you to do and be what He made you to be. You know the difference between a slave and a bond slave? A slave is one who is in bondage and has no choice. A bond slave is one who has been freed from bondage and chooses to continue in bondage by his own volition. The Apostle Paul said he was a bond slave, and I'm supposed to be a bond slave. That means that when I got saved, I was freed from the law of sin and death. No longer am I a slave to God, but because I have been freed, I'm supposed to say, thank God I've been freed, and now then I'll be His slave forever by choice. You know the story about the young lady, black girl? She was on the slave market back in the slave days, and they were auctioning her off. And finally, one fellow kept bidding and kept bidding and kept bidding and kept bidding. And as the bids were raised, she became more bitter because she wanted to be free. And finally, the bidding was ceased, and one man had the highest bid. And the auctioneer said, "Sold," to the gentleman over there. The young black lady gritted her teeth, and she said, "I won't go with you. I won't go with you. I won't go with you." And he said, "Ma'am, I want to tell you, I didn't buy you to make you a slave. I bought you to set you free." And she looked at him, and tears rolled down her black cheeks, and she said, "Then I'll be your slave forever." That's exactly what the gospel's all about. I am free from the law of the sin and death, but the thing that has freed me is another law, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, and because He set me free, bless God, I'll be a slave forever. And that's what you're supposed to be. When you are freed to be a bond slave, and do not so choose, the vacuum takes you back to original slavery. Don't misunderstand me. You're free from the law of sin taking you to hell, and you've been freed from the law of love, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now you can give your life to God, or you can go back. Now what you do is you go back to the law of sin and death, but it's not back to the law of sin and death where you go to hell. You don't lose your salvation, but you go back to physical punishment and physical death, if needs be. Illustration. I won't belabor you with the story of Elvis Presley again. You've heard it before. But ask Elvis Presley, when I talked to him at the Stoney Hotel in Dallas about 40 years ago. He was at his heyday. I talked to him for about 15 to 30 minutes, Stoney Hotel. And I said, "Elvis, you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven." Elvis Presley said, "Yes, I do." And gave me a testimony how that he got saved one night in an old-fashioned revival meeting. His godly grandmother took him out to an old-fashioned revival meeting where an old-fashioned preacher preached the gospel. Elvis Presley told me that he walked the aisle and he got saved. I believe Elvis Presley's in heaven tonight. I think he's a street person living out the edge of town. But they're golden streets. It's not too bad to sleep on them. But Elvis Presley, I think, is in heaven. Not because he's good. God knows he wasn't. I said, "Elvis, if you're really saved..." Hey, by the way, he told me he started his music in church. His first solos were sung in church. His musical training came in church, which is the case in so many of these heathen stars, such as the Oak Ridge Brother Quartet and so forth. I said, "Then, Elvis, if you're saved, why are you living the life that you're living?" And Elvis Presley said, "Because I wanted to be free." It was only a little while. I picked up the paper and said, "The king is dead." And the king died a slave to dope and liquor. When he refused to live the law of love, he, by vacuum, went back to the law of sin and death. You're either a slave tonight to Jesus Christ, or you're a slave to the law of sin and death.
That's what happened in Galatia. Galatians 4:10. You observe days and months and times and years. He said, I'm afraid of you because you have fallen from grace. What he meant was, you've fallen from preaching grace back the old times and seasons. So you are within the boundaries of sin tonight, or you're in the boundaries of love. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said to Eve, said, you eat this fruit and you'll it's the knowledge of evil, of good and evil, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. What was the devil saying? The devil was saying, Eve, you eat this fruit, you can decide what's good and you can decide what's wrong. And you can go your own way, but to go your own way is slavery. Everybody here is a slave tonight. You're a bond slave or a slave. If you refuse to be a bond slave, the very fact that you refuse to be a bond slave puts you back in slavery. I'm going to close, but as soon as I can think of a sad story. But I want to say this tonight. The thing that is destroying fundamentalism is what I'm talking about tonight. Grace. Run to grace. We've been freed. You haven't been free to live like you want to live. There's still some restraint. And by the way, there's some restraints in the New Testament. It's the New Testament. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. I'll tell you another thing, too. Whoever preaching is preached like you're hearing tonight, they got a Sunday night crowd. Ask a question tonight. Are you in bondage to your own will or the will of God? Are you doing your thing or His thing? Jude said, these ungodly men, and brother, the nation's full of them tonight. I'm sick of picking up so-called Christian papers and reading about how fundamentalists are, how they're attacking fundamentalists because we have some standards. And every stinking one of that crowd belongs to some movement that was built on standards. When I was a young man, the Methodist folks had standards. When I was a young preacher, the charismatic people were the strictest people in America. The Nazarenes had standards. Church of God had standards. And back in those days, they had crowds on Sunday night. I want to tell you tonight, America needs a bunch of old-fashioned, born-again believers who live a separated Christian life, who say, I'm in love with Jesus, and I live in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of love will make me a servant till I die. Our Heavenly Father, bless our people tonight. Oh, my soul hurts and aches tonight because the condition of our fundamental churches, so-called fundamental churches.